Hi, and thank you for listening in to the New Song Podcast from this week's service. You are welcome and encouraged to join us at 10 a.m. on Sundays in person. And for more information on how to get involved with New Song, go to newsonglouisville.org and follow us on social media. And now for today's message.
So this morning we're so excited to introduce to you Stacy Strickland. Stacy is a new friend and one of the newest members of the Harvest Project. Stacy has roots with New Song Nashville, which we have roots with. She has a close friendship with Jordan and Bethany Rowe, which we are friends with. And we met Stacy back in May of this last year, and God brought her into the Foursquare family, and she is a Foursquare missionary now doing an amazing work in Dangriga, Belize. So for those of you who are like, I don't know about Africa, but Belize, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? So anyway, would you give a good New Song welcome to our new friend, Stacy Strickland, as she comes to minister?
Thank you so much. Before you step off, Pastor Jeff, I actually have a lot of things in my hands. But first and foremost, thank you so much for letting me be here.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
To share about belief and just what the Lord's doing, and then to share the word. And you guys are actually the first people to see these. But I have some new shirts that I just made just kind of promote. And so I just wanted to gift you one.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's small, a small token of my appreciation.
Thank you, Stacy.
Thank you so much.
It's great to have you. Let me get some stuff out of my hands.
It's not just sports. And then he can show you the back so I don't take my jacket off. But But
so
I do
here we
have
go.
Them.
It's not just sports, because Stacy does a lot through sports. Mm-hmm. But look, it's about community, discipleship, partnership, transformation, hope, and health. Mm-hmm. And this would be the continent of, or not the continent, the country,
the country.
Of Belize.
Yeah.
So, amen.
Yes.
So,
I have them back at my table. They're $25. All the proceeds go straight to ministry in Belize. I have some freebies back there as well. I've got some fun little stickers. Feel free to take one or two. I have a prayer card that I would love for you to grab. I know that Tracy has put some out, I think, in the foyer as well. It's just a reminder, you know, to pray for me and the ministry that's happening in Belize. There's a QR code so you can connect with me. And then this brochure just talks a little bit more about how you can connect with me outside of today, prayer, financially, and then on my socials. And the financial part of this you can just kind of overlook, because I know you guys contribute to the Harvest Project, and I am super grateful for that. So thank you for your faithfulness to the Harvest Project. Like Pastor said, I was just with Jared Mueller and his son Benjamin in Belize, and they are very grateful for your faithfulness to the Harvest Project as well. And so they say hi. Jared found out that I was going to be here, and so he asked me to send his greetings. So they say hello as well. So I've never spoken with a hands-free microphone, and this is super fun. So I'm just going to kind of jump in and share a little bit about what God's doing, but a little bit about myself. This is my baby boy, Coach. He goes everywhere with me. He moved to Belize with me, and my aunt jokingly says, but it's very serious, he has his own ministry as well. In Belize, people are quite afraid of dogs because there are a lot that are feral or just wild. And so people are fearful. And he is just a fluff ball that opens up doors for conversations all the time. Miss, does he bite? No. And then kids just go in, adults, everything. And he opens up doors and softens hearts. And I'm able to have conversations with people about the Lord because of Coach. So that's my baby boy. I was born and raised in San Diego. I spent a number of years out there until I was about 20. I graduated college and then moved to Tennessee, where I got connected with New Song Nashville, like Pastor Jeff said. And I was there for about 10 years before transitioning to another church in the Nashville area. And then in 2021, I moved down to Belize. So I'm going to skip through a few of these. I wanted to show you all these pictures, but I'm on a time crunch. So there we go. That's the last one. Nope. That's the last one. So just quick timeline just to get to know me a little bit, right? Back in July of 2005, when I was in college in California, I was actually on a short-term missions trip doing sports ministry in Germany. And I was playing tag with a bunch of children. And when we were on a playground, I stood back and I saw all of these kids just playing. And it was in that moment that I heard the Lord very clearly say, "This is what I have for you for the rest of your life." I was 18 years old, and he said, I have called you and designed for you to use sports as a way to share the gospel, to reclaim the joy of play. Because the Lord's in our play. A lot of people think that God is just a serious, serious God, but there is freedom and restoration and redemption that happens when we play. And so I was in college at the time, and I was like, this is great. What do I do with that? And so the Lord had me finish college and move to Tennessee. But over the course of those 17, I'm not good at math, from 05 till 2020, about 15 years, the Lord and I constantly had a conversation where I was like, is it time for me to go overseas yet? Is it time for me to go? And he's like, nope, not yet. I need you to stay. Not yet. Just stay. And so then in May of 2020, I had pretty major hip surgery where they actually had to go in and break my hip and reposition it. And so I couldn't walk for 14 weeks. And so at that point in time, I had a lot of time to pray and process. And so I kept asking the Lord again, because I was in a good job. I was teaching at a school in Franklin, and I was coaching, and it was a wonderful thing. But there was just something inside that I'm like, I know I'm not fulfilling what I was created for. And so finally, I say finally, it was perfect timing of the Lord. The Lord released me and said, yep, now's the time. And so I could not get there fast enough. So November through January, I went into some prayer and fasting, talking with leaders and just sharing what the Lord had put on my heart. And so then in June of 2021, I went to Belize for the second time, actually. My first trip down there was in 2019 as a short-term trip. We did a youth convention. Never did I think I would be there full-time. I thought I would go back for a number of short-term trips and do some training with the churches and kind of release things. But once it was clear that the Lord was like, I need you to go there to do sports ministry, but I also need you to hold up the arms of these pastors. Because I'll show you a picture of them in a minute, but they've been pastoring in Dangriga for now 43 years. And it's hard and it's rough. They are Belizeans. But the Lord said, these people are the spiritual authority, like Moses, but they're tired. And so I need you to go be Aaron for them and hold their arms up. So went down, did our first sports camp. It's a week-long camp in 2021. I'm going to show you some more pictures and stats about that in a minute. And then I came back, and here's the faithfulness of God. I don't know if you have experienced much about missionaries itinerating, like to get on the field. It's usually a minimum of about a year to become fully funded. And at the time, my budget was a lot less than it is now, but it still was a big chunk of money. I needed to raise about $3,500 a month. I got back and I started fundraising and support raising on July 1st, and I was fully funded by November. And so that was the Lord. It was nothing that I did. It was all the Lord. And so I moved. I packed up my truck and my dog, and I drove to Belize. Did you know you could drive to Belize? Okay. I kind of blew a little bit one of my signs later, or my slides. But yeah, so we drove down. It was about 25 hours from the U.S.-Mexico border to the Belize-Mexico border. And so we did it straight through. I had someone driving with me, and so we just kind of rotated because I was not about to spend the night in my car in Mexico. It's not wise. Yeah, it's not very wise. Coach did get out at one point. We got stopped at a military checkpoint, and my friend forgot to shut his door, and so all of a sudden I see my dog running across the highway. I was never more happy for his recalls than that moment. Anyways, that kind of launched my past 2 years. And 2022, we did another sports camp. In the fall of 2022, I started monthly sports clinics. So every month we do, it's 6 hours of basketball or volleyball. I'm looking in this next year to turn that into a weekly thing, kind of a like a league, you know, like you've got AYSO and those types of leagues here. So doing something like that in Belize. June of last year, we had our third sports camp. And then in December, I officially joined FMI. So that's kind of the like super crunched down version, right? But here we are. So like I said, year one of sports camp, we had 51 campers, 8 local volunteers, and 28 kids responded to the gospel message. It was really cool because it was just me and my friend Emily, and I had called Emily about 3 weeks, maybe a month before camp, and I said, hey, you want to go to Belize and do a soccer camp? And she was like, yeah, fun. So she came, and it was just the two of us. And like I said, we had 8 local volunteers, but they were warm bodies at that point, right, to kind of do some crowd control. I did all the Bible teaching. Unfortunately, I didn't bring the songs with me, but there's always like fun songs with hand motions that make you way too exhausted, and I need oxygen after I do them. And so she and I did all of that, right? The next year, we had 76 campers. Oh, and we only did football, soccer, and basketball that first year. Second year, we added volleyball, had 76 campers, 15 local volunteers, and another 28 responded to the gospel. The basketball, I'll just say it, the volleyball portion was coached by locals. And I was able to get the locals a little, they're a very shy people group. and so they came out of their shells just a little bit to do some of the hand motions with me. Y'all, I'm a different person when I'm at camp. And they were they didn't think that I could do that, what I did. But anyways, so that was the second year. And then this past year, we had 63 campers, 20 local volunteers, and 18 of those responded to the gospel. But here's what's cool about this one. I firmly believe that the ministry needs to be about the Jesus model, right? The Jesus model was what? Watch me do it with me, with his disciples, and now I'm going to watch you do it, right? And that's what we saw happen here. This first year, they were watching me do it. The second year, they were doing it with me. This third year, I was pretty much hands-off. I did a lot of the admin, but I didn't teach a single Bible story. I was barely on the stage to do hand motions. And we had only one person leading the football portion. So we had locals doing basketball and volleyball, which is really surprising. And you can be praying for me with this, is football's the number one sport in Belize, yet I can't find a football coach. because I can't find a football coach who knows the sport and loves Jesus. That's the key. That's the thing. Because the thing I pride myself on with this is that we provide quality sports training and quality introduction to Jesus. And so I can get a quality football coach, but I'm having trouble finding a quality spiritual football coach. So keep that in prayers as we go. I already answered this, so we're going to go by this fast. Belize, in 2019, I didn't know where Belize was. My pastor said, hey, we're doing a trip to Belize, and I had already heard from the Lord earlier that year that I was going to be going international. So as soon as I heard that, I was like, sign me up. And then I was like, wait, where's Belize? What is this? So small little country. It's the only country in Central America that speaks English. So it's been very great. However, there is a dialect called Creole that is almost its own language. And I had to work hard on it, but I can't always get it. There's also a smaller, Spanish is definitely prevalent as well, because we obviously border all Spanish-speaking countries. And so I'm 175 days strong on Duolingo in learning my Spanish. And then there's a third language called Garifuna that I only know Buti Banafi, which is good morning, and Soreme, which is thank you. So I'm kind of giving up on that one, which is fine. So a little bit about Belize. Population, there's only 420,000 people in the whole country. 9,000 of those people are in my little town of Dangriga. And, oh, that messed up. Okay, anyways. 41.3% of the population is the age 35 or less. And 50% of that are 15 and under. So there's a big need for young people, right? You can see some of these statistics. The biggest culture is the Mestizo culture, followed by Creole, which would be native Belizean, for lack of a better term. Then you've got Mayans, you've got Garifuna, East Indian, Mennonites, white, Asian, and others. And what's interesting about this is the Garifuna people, this is a picture from, they're called the 19th celebrations, which is the day that the Garifuna fled St. Vincent Island, and they landed and to find rescue in Dangriga specifically. And so every 19th, there's these huge celebrations. They only make up 6%, but they have the biggest spiritual impact, at least in Dangriga. Even though it says Roman Catholics 40%, the Garifuna have their own temples, and they have, it's a lot of witchcraft, and it is a lot of just oppression in the spiritual realm. And so even though they're so small, they have these drums, which I have a miniature one in the back. Super fun music, like super fun beats and super fun to dance to. But a lot of the rhythms are calling up spirits and calling up their ancestors. And so I hear drums almost 24/7. And so it's definitely an oppressed area, even though it's such a small population. So these are the pastors that I get to work with, Patricia and Michael Evans. Like I said, they've been in Dangriga for 43 years now, so it's a blessing to be able to serve them. I'm going to go through this kind of fast. That's one of my neighborhood boys. They come into my yard because I have a big grassy yard, and so the neighborhood kids love to come and play volleyball and tag and play with coach, and we had cartwheel competitions last week before I left. But a friend of mine with the Peace Corps did a survey recently of 902 primary school students, and we found that 538 of those participants reported having been in a physical fight, 478 reported violence in their like witnessing it firsthand, including but not limited to a person being attacked, beaten, stabbed, or shot. 619 of them reported that they have seen someone in their community do drugs, including but not limited to smoking and heavy drinking. But then 654 of them also report that they like to play sports. So my next door neighbors, even, I've seen this little guy is 5. They will be up partying all night and make him go and clean up their bottles and bring in some of the other little girls, bring them new alcohol and things like that. So the need is great for the young people. The other reason why I say why sports is because there are people that will never walk through the door of a church building. They won't do it. But they will meet you on a volleyball court or a football pitch. And through play, I remember just even in the States, just through kicking a football back and forth, it opens up conversations because it's a safe place and they feel seen. And so that's why I told Foursquare when I was first talking, I'm like, I have no interest in church planning. If you want to send me to church plant, I'm going to go to a different organization. And they're like, no, we don't want that. We want to build relationships with people. We want the gospel to go forward. And so there are two Foursquare churches in Belize, about an hour and an hour 45 away from me, that I get to partner with. But they were like, we don't want you to plant a church in Dangriga. So another quick story. Before I stop talking and I show you a little video, just to give you a better idea of what's going on, about why sports, is that this little boy, his name is Promise, and his sisters' names are Faith, Miracle, and, oh my God, I forget the last one. It's another great one like that. But this was at sports camp, Monday of sports camp, and on Friday beforehand, I stood with his family at his father's funeral, at their graveside. His dad had died suddenly, and so we created a space for him to carry grief and joy at the same time. And the things, I haven't seen him smile in a week since his dad died, you know? And so it was the first time he was able to smile again. And so we have so many stories like that of kids that they aren't seen by their parents. And so we get to see them and we get to love them. So, this is a Coaches Academy that I'm super excited I got to launch this past year also. Because if I can reach coaches, I have a bigger ministry to students. And so this is really focused on teaching coaches how to go from being just transactional, X's, wins, losses, to really being a transformational coach. You have the ability to transform a child's life. And so a number of them said, I've never thought of this before. I never thought about what it was like to be coached by me. I never thought that I actually had the ability to transform someone's life, because belief is a very shame-based culture, and so they focus on what you're doing wrong versus what you're doing right. All right. Okay, so this, I'm going to stop talking. This is a couple-minute video going through just some of the things that I've done this past year and that the Lord's done, and give you a little insight into life and belief. So enjoy. Anyways, so that's a little bit, I could sit here and talk all day about those beautiful kids, but I can't. So real quick, and then I'm going to dive into a word that I feel like the Lord's given me for us today. 2024, my goal is to see at least two camps this summer. So normally I just do one, but doing one in Dangriga and then one in a different part of the country. So whether it's in Belmopan, the capital, or out in the western part called Santa Elena. The Lord's really opening up doors to connect with other churches to help equip them on how to use sports as outreach. Because like we said, it opens up doors. I'm going to continue the monthly clinics, like I said. And then I'm looking to launch what's called the Pillar Collective. We're still working on if it's going to be a nonprofit or if it's going to be a for-profit. We're leaning towards more of like a business as mission. But the vision and the mission is to follow the way of Jesus, to be a source of strength and support for the community. In these first 2 years, I've done a lot of listening to see what's the need, and the need is a safe place for kids. The need is a gym to go physically work out at, because there's not one. And so the Lord showed me this over a year ago to build a community center and a sports complex. So we're looking to build a 3-court volleyball complex, and it'll also have a big community room, kind of like this. It'll have some smaller rooms so that we can have counseling. Again, people may not come to church, but they'll come to a community center. And so I don't know if you're familiar with Alpha at all. I'm looking at launching an Alpha this year as well, but the people that would come to Alpha will not go to it if it's at the church building. And so I'm trying to create a place that we can do that, to be a safe place, and then for people to experience the practicality of God's love and encounter him as Redeemer. Meet them where they are, right? And then love them enough to not let them stay there. So ways to partner, like I said, it's in the back too. First and foremost, I covet your prayers. For safety, for wisdom, all of that financially, which like you guys are graciously doing through Harvest Project. and then connect with me on social media. I have a YouTube channel that I have been not great at updating this past year, but I have vision for it. We're going to have a lot more videos, so go and subscribe, and let's grow that count. So, so I want to jump in to a book of the Bible that is not usually tied to missions. But I feel like the Lord has some stuff in this that we can learn. So the book of Nehemiah, right? I love the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. I love it almost more than the New Testament. But there's so much that we can learn just even from the first six chapters of Nehemiah. And so I'm going to try and go through this. This happens to me a lot where the Lord gives me a message, but I'm like, this is like a five-week message, Lord. How am I supposed to do this in one Sunday? So here we go. I don't know if you're familiar with Nehemiah and Ezra, but it was at once, it was kind of one book. They kind of broke it up because the two books total about 110 years in Israel's history. We've got like 70 years of exile that we see in the book of Ezra, where God moves the heart of the Babylon king. And then we see, you know, restoration, exile. Those Israelites got exiled a lot. But after 70 years of exile, Ezra says that God moved the hearts of the Babylon king Cyrus of Persia and issued an edict that Jews could return to Jerusalem, right? And so a guy named Zerubbabel, or I call him Zoobs, he led a small group of people, and they rebuilt the temple, right, in Jerusalem. And that took about 21 years. And then about 60 years later, under King Artaxerxes, I don't know which one, but King Artie, Ezra then brought revival, and he reestablished teaching in the temple and worship. He reestablished the Torah in people's lives. So at that point, the temple was built, government was reestablished, but the walls around Jerusalem were still in desolation. And so this is where we kind of pick this up, right? I could go into why Jerusalem, why is it so important? We ask the same questions now because we see all of the conflict that's happening. But suffice it to say that it's God's chosen city, right? In Genesis 22, verse 2, God told Abraham, "Now take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering." In Hebrew, Moriah literally means scene of Yahweh. So it's the town that God sees. It's the place that God sees. And so that's why it is so important. And so when we look at Nehemiah rebuilding the walls, he's not just rebuilding physical walls and physical protection, but he's rebuilding the kingdom of God and the broken pieces of God's people, right? And so we too are called to build and to rebuild. We're called to see the broken things in our life and the broken things in other people's lives and rebuild them. And so a few things that we can see from Nehemiah, right? Starting in chapter 1 and 2, and if you have not read the book of Nehemiah, I highly encourage it. I do not have any scripture on the slides for you guys, so I think it was last week or the week before, I was watching a little bit of your guys' thing, and I think Pastor had mentioned, like, hey, bring the old school Bibles back. Like, bring the paper back. So if you have your Bible, turn to Nehemiah. Otherwise, scroll to Nehemiah. But the first thing that we see is that Nehemiah was patient, right? God's people have faith to wait. In the first part of Nehemiah, we see that he was in the town. We're in the month of, it says Chislev. Sorry, my Hebrew's not great. In the 20th year. And some of his friends and brothers had gone to Jerusalem, and they have come back, and they're giving a report to Nehemiah. And they've said, hey, the walls are destroyed. And when he heard that, it says in verse 4, that I sat down and I wept and I mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before God. When I read that, it makes me wonder, when we hear about brokenness in the world and the brokenness of God's people, do we mourn over that? Like, does it cause us to weep? Because, I don't know where the brother is, like he was saying, like, we need to get moved and by what God's doing or the brokenness and the lack of God in someone's life, right? And so, when he was mourning, right, he wasn't just mourning the destruction of a physical wall, but he was mourning the destruction and brokenness of God's people. And so, you know, I ask, like, when we see that, what do we do about it? A lot of times people are like, hey, let me try and get money to you. It's a poor missiology, but people go and they just dump money and then they leave and they don't fix anything, right? But we need to be in prayer about it. We need to be in prayer and fasting to see and crave for the Lord to move on behalf of his people. And so we see that in verse 6 even, that he asks the Lord, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open that you may hear the prayer of your servant. God wants to be with us. He wants to hear us. He wants to see what we're doing, and he wants to respond. So the rest of that chapter is a prayer that Nehemiah is praying. And during this time, he's also being downloaded with a vision of how to repair the wall, right? And so then we see the very last couple verses. It says, grant me mercy in the sight of this man. He's talking about the king. And it says, for I was the king's cupbearer. And then chapter 2 picks up and it says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, which Chislev to Nisan is about 4 months in the Hebrew calendar. In the 20th year of King Arti, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to him. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. So 4 months had passed where Nehemiah had heard about the brokenness and it was weighing on him. And now he has a chance to potentially make his petition known to the king. It should never have happened because he's a servant and he's one of the most trusted people in the palace because he's the cupbearer, right? If food, like you don't want to be good at your job necessarily, because if you succeed, that means you've died. But the king trusts him to say, I'm going to trust you that when you say there's nothing bad in this food, there's nothing bad in this food or this wine. And so it kind of created this relationship between Nehemiah and the king that most people didn't have. And so we see in these next few verses, the second thing, that Nehemiah was a man of character and it was rewarded to him. It wasn't acceptable to show emotion in the presence of the king. Like, you had to be a very straight-faced person. And so the fact that he went in and he was sad, and the king said to me, why is your face sad? Are you not sick? This is nothing but a sorrow of heart. So he knew it wasn't sickness. He knew that he was grieved. Now, King Artaxerxes could have been like, why are you sad in my presence? You're dead. Goodbye. Like, because it was that level of respect and honor, right? The king, you don't do that. But instead, he said, wait a minute. Almost saying, like, my friend, what's wrong? Because they've had so many years of relationship, so he knew something was going on, right? And remember, King Artaxerxes is not an Israeli king. He's not a Jewish king. He doesn't care about the things of the Lord. He doesn't care. But Nehemiah is a Jew, right? Nehemiah is a slave in a land and in a job that he probably doesn't even want. He would rather be in Jerusalem. He would rather be able to go and see Jerusalem for himself, but he couldn't because of his job, right? And so, at that point, Nehemiah humbly asks him, if it pleases the king, let me share with you what's going on. Nehemiah's character, right? His consistent character and his faithfulness, his godly reputation earned him the right for the king to listen to him. He had carried himself in a way for all of these years that the king said, let me turn my ear to you. I'm going to give you my ear. He was in a place where God had put him in a foreign land, like I said, but yet he remained faithful. He was faithful in the job that he didn't love, but he was placed in that position for a reason. And it would seem that even though he was enslaved, he didn't know why. Like, he didn't know why he was in that position. But he knew something was eventually going to happen. And then in this moment, he's like, this is it. This is why I've had to be faithful in the small things. God knew the bigger picture and the role that Nehemiah was going to play. He also knew the role that King Artaxerxes was going to play. Because let's not be mistaken, God will use the money of the wicked for his kingdom. Like, it's all God's. And so, hey, if somebody, you know, wants to meet with me and they're not a faith business, but they want to write me a check for $2 million, sure, I'll go and have that conversation. It's all God's money. But in this time, we see that Nehemiah had been faithful to pray and to make a vision, because later down in verse 4, the king said to him, right, what do you ask? Like, what's your request? And then it says, so I pray to the God of heaven. Now, this is one of those quick prayers, because if the king is asking you for a direct question, you don't want to go spend a lot of time in prayer. But it's one of those, like, hey, I'm about to step into a meeting. Lord, be with me. Let me, you know, that type of thing. Give me the words to say. And then he made his request known. He's like, all right, well, you're asking. The walls of my people are broken. I want to go back and fix them. And then the king asked him, well, how long is it going to take? And he was able to share. Now, he probably shared a number that was not 12 years that he ended up spending in Jerusalem. But it shows that the king cared about Nehemiah. And he's like, I don't want anyone else for this job. So, like, I'm going to let you go as long as I know you're going to come back. And that shows the faithfulness and the character that Nehemiah had built with the king. And so I wonder where we are. Like, maybe you're in a spot where you're like, I don't want to be in this job. Or like me, for 15 years being like, why am I still here? What is going on? But when you're in a place that you don't necessarily want to be, how are we carrying ourselves? Are we being faithful to the task that is in front of us? Or are we just so focused on the future that we're not willing to be character? Because if we're not going to be diligent and faithful with what God has placed us in right now, because don't get it wrong, even if you're sitting behind the desk somewhere or you're bagging groceries, it's not a job you found. Like, God has placed you there for a reason. And so if we want God to use us greatly one day, we must represent him well every day. Because if we don't represent him well, if Nehemiah hadn't represented himself and the Lord well, he would have been denied his request with the king. Because then he's in the same room. And we see here that it says that the queen was with him. And that goes to show that this wasn't an official capacity, right? The king wasn't sitting in the throne room just signing decrees all day and then Nehemiah came in. It shows that it was a more intimate relationship, because the queen wouldn't have been in the throne room like that. But it says the queen was sitting next to him when he asked these questions. And so when Nehemiah was like, okay, that first question went well, let me ask for another one. Can I have supplies to rebuild the wall? You know, can I have a letter from you saying that I'm allowed to pass because I'm not supposed to be in those parts of the country? And the king said, yeah, whatever you need, because of the faithfulness in the small where the Lord had gone. And so I believe that I don't know what the dreams are that you have or what the Lord's calling you into. Maybe it's a full-time international ministry. Maybe it's a full-time ministry here in Kentucky or whatever it is. If you're waiting for something, be faithful now and continue to pray. And we're going to talk about that in a second, but be faithful now because God will honor that. And it's all part of the plan. We have a place in God's plan. You have a very specific place in the plan of the Lord. There are people that you can touch and that you will be able to minister to that I will never, ever meet this side of eternity. And so we must, as the people of God, be so diligent to seek his face every morning so that we can be the most impactful for the kingdom every day while we're waiting for whatever that promise is. I waited 15 years before I went to the mission field, even though I knew that that was a promise of the Lord, right? David had been crowned or been named king from a child, and he waited how long? Like Moses, Abraham, all these people, like there's waiting involved, but it's how we wait, right? Are we going to wait patiently? Are we going to wait seeking the Lord still, or are we going to kind of buck the system? So the next thing is in chapter 3, we see that, okay, he's been given permission. Now they're actually going to be building the wall, right? And I'm going to read my notes on this part because I will digress way too much. Oh, there are 43 times in the course of these 32 verses of chapter 3, okay? So 32 verses in chapter 3. 43 times the phrase "and next to" or "after them" or "moreover" appears. And then it says they made repairs in front of their own home. Now the wall was 2.5 miles long. It was approximately 9 feet wide. One section that had been dug up by archaeologists was about 23 feet wide. So it's a big wall, right? And people lived in the wall, right? That was their home. That was their business. That's where they did stuff. And so in chapter 3, I'm not going to name all the names and all that stuff because it's like Numbers and Deuteronomy and all those. It's just names. But what it says is this person was next to this person, and then this person, and then this person, and they all were working on their section of the wall. Okay? The wall would not have been built if I wanted to build that part of the wall instead of the part of the wall that was put in front of me. Right? And so as we walk together, my part of the wall right now is beliefs. Your part of the wall is your job, is your dance studio, is wherever the Lord has placed you. So we stay in our lane and we build our part of the wall, and eventually it will be strong. Some people were tasked to build the gates. Some people were tasked to build the windows or the doors, right? Every part of it was important because the wall would not have been strong without each person. So you're needed in the this world, in God's plan. So I'm going to skip all of that real quick. We have to be clear about what the Lord is calling us to. If you're not clear about what the Lord's calling you to, you're going to be building something that you maybe shouldn't be building. And then that's going to be wasted time from what you should have been building and what the Lord had planned for you to build. We aren't working on building our own kingdom here, right? We're working on building the kingdom of God. Therefore, we must celebrate when other people get a win. If that part of the wall got done before my part of the wall, I'm going to celebrate that because it's not my kingdom. There's some things happening in Belize with sports that I have actually had a moment where I'm like, Lord, why is it not me yet? Like, why are they seeing? And I have to catch myself. I'm like, no. I celebrate that. People are coming to the kingdom of God and coming into salvation because of that. Right? And I believe that when we celebrate other people's success in an area that we are praying for, our faith grows and I feel like a bigger blessing comes, right? It's something I had to work through, right? Like, I'm not married yet. I don't have children yet. I was in a season of time where I could not celebrate when other people got engaged because it's something I wanted so deeply. But when the Lord shifted my heart and I'm now able to celebrate that, there's so much more joy that comes with it. And I have seen blessing from the Lord, and I believe just because they got it doesn't mean I'm not going to get it. So, like, we need to celebrate people. You also have a place in the battle, right? So we have been called to build, and we have been called to battle. And we see that in chapter 4. Again, take time and read this entire book, because it is so meaty and so great. But there was opposition that showed up in chapter 4, right? The opposition didn't show up until the work began. Okay? Like, so we can't just sit back and be like, Lord, this is going to, oh, I'm going to build a community center. I fully expect there to be massive opposition once that building starts being built. Like, I don't have land yet. I believe the Lord's going to provide it, but I believe there's also going to be opposition. Now, I'm not looking for the enemy after, you know, around every corner, but we're just being real about it, right? So the opposition here was named Sanballat and, what were the other names? Anyway, they had specific names, but maybe the opposition in your life is called fear or doubt or confusion. We can't build in confusion. But Nehemiah saw that there was opposition coming, and so he said, people, I need you to build, and I need you to battle. We see in chapter 4, verse 13, so therefore I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings, and I set the people according to their families. So again, in front of their portion, with their swords and their spears and their bows. And said, do not be afraid of them. Remember, the Lord is great and awesome and fights for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And then a little bit later in that chapter, it says, so it was from that time on that half of the servants worked at construction while the other half held the spears, the shields, and the bows, and wore armor. And those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that in one hand they worked on construction and the other hand they held a weapon. I did this message in Belize and I had a hammer and then I had a giant machete, right? So we've been called to build. But sometimes when opposition comes, you have to lay your hammer down and you have to fight for the things and the promises of God. And then you lay your sword down and you pick up your hammer and you get back to work. Right? We were created to build and to battle. And then if your part of the wall gets done, you go protect and you go help your friends. Right? So to build and to battle. In those 15 years of waiting to go on the mission field, I had to battle for the promise of God. I'm battling for the promise of God when it comes to marriage and kids right now because I get attacked. But I'm like, I can't just sit here and be paralyzed by it because I got something to build. Like, I want a husband, but I'm not going to wait for him to go do what the Lord wants me to do, you know? Like, come on, I don't got time to waste. And a friend of mine, actually a former New Song friend, I had dinner with her last night. She's in Kentucky now, but she got married this past January at 42. And I'm like, all right, there's still hope for me. Let's go. Right? But again, I'm going to build. But then when I feel the oppression and the attacks, we put our hammer down and we battle. The enemy is trying to build a kingdom too, right? Let's not get it twisted. If we start aligning ourselves and allowing the enemy to build walls in our life, or if we've even built up our own walls of anger, offense, and bitterness, then the hammer can also be a tool of destruction, right? And so we need to tear down those walls and rebuild the things in our heart that are of the Lord. So, like I said, a year ago, the Lord put the vision for Pillar Collective that was already birthed in his heart, on my heart. And so this past year, it's been like Nehemiah in those first 4 months, right? Praying and saying, okay, Lord, I have a vision now, right? A few months ago, I had an idea, but like if Nehemiah had just gone to the king and said, hey, I've got this idea, I kind of want to go build this thing. And when he asked, well, how long is it going to take? What's it going to take? And if Nehemiah didn't have an answer, he probably would not have been allowed to go. And so I don't know what you're believing for, right? What the Lord has spoken to you. But if you're in this season of waiting, submit it to the Lord. Make the plan, right? Says in Malachi? Thank you. I always get them confused. Make the plan. Write it down so that anyone could run with it. Habakkuk, thank you. Man, we got pastors in here. Somewhere between Genesis and Revelation, it says, so Habakkuk, yes, Habakkuk 2, right? So I just want to encourage you as I come to a close, if you are believing for something, whether it's a ministry, whether it's a marriage, whether it's children, whether it's financial freedom, a new job, whatever it is, the salvation of your children, of loved ones, don't give up. Right? Hold in your hand a hammer and a sword. Build and battle. Because you were created in the image of God, and we, as believers, we fight from a place of victory already. So we don't have to be like, I hope I win. No, we've already won in the Lord. And if you don't know Christ, and if you don't have a relationship with him yet, this doesn't quite apply to you yet, but we would love to talk to you. I'd love to talk to you, Pastor Jeff. I know there's others that would love to have that conversation. And I invite you to Christ today, because only in Christ can we have the freedom to build something that will last forever and fight for it, to protect it. Protect the vision of God in your life. So I thank you for, again, just your support. I thank you for your prayers. I know that Pastor Jeff has announced a couple times that I'm the newest member, I guess you could say, of the Harvest Project. But I thank you for your prayers, because you guys are helping to protect what the Lord is doing in Belize. And so I greatly appreciate that. And if you would like to talk, if you need prayer, I would love to pray with you over just even the vision that the Lord's given you. And I can't wait to see what comes out of this body, right? Whether it's here in Kentucky or overseas, I know that God has really great things here in this body. So let me pray over you guys, and then I'll give it back to you. Lord, thank you so much for who you are. I thank you for your salvation. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for the mercy that you give us that we don't deserve. But Lord, I also thank you for your joy. I thank you for the vision that you have for your kingdom. Because Lord, it's not our vision. This isn't our world. We just get to live in it. We get to be stewards of the vision that you've given us, of the finances that you've given us, of the time, talent, and treasure. But Lord, even right now, I pray that you would, by the power of Holy Spirit, even unlock dreams in people's hearts right now. Lord, that the people that I'm just even sensing, that there might be a couple people in here who say, I don't know how to dream. Or I'm so bound and I'm so broken that I don't have the luxury of dreaming again. Lord, I pray that you would bring freedom to them, and that even in this moment, that the ability to dream would be woken up again and unlocked. And that you would just pour out your vision and pour out just your heart and your love for right where these people are. That you would give them new vision for their workplace, new vision for their marriages, for their parenting, that you would just give them a strategy on how to infiltrate the enemy's camp, but to rise up as soldiers who are going to build something that will last forever and that will battle for that vision and battle for what you've promised them, Lord. So I thank you that you've created us to battle and to build. You've created us for it. And so, Lord, I just release creativity over this congregation. I release joy over this congregation. I release the ability to laugh again over this congregation. And may you be exalted in everything that happens. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good job. Mm-hmm. Good job. Well, how many of you were blessed? Amen? Give Stacy another good hand, would you? What a great job, Stacy. Great job. Hey, as we go out of here today, so just a couple of thoughts that I really want you to wrestle with, that I want you to reflect on, okay? So what's your part of the wall? What's your part of the wall? Because God's given every single one of us a part of the wall, right? And how are you going to be faithful in that part? I just read this morning from one of my missionary heroes, Hudson Taylor. He said this. It's really cool. Little things are little things. But when you're faithful in little things, they become big things. I want you to think about that. That's the words of Jesus, right? If you'll be faithful in what's little, He'll make you faithful over what? Much. So you start by being faithful to build and to battle and keep focused on your part of the wall. What is it God's called you to? Because here's the cool thing, and I was really blessed by this with Stacy too today. You know, she loves sports. How many of you love sports? Wow, God might use that. How many of you love, you love music? Oh man, God might use that. I mean, I hope you just began to see that God can use a lot of different things to bring glory and honor to His name. And He's gifted you with some of those things, right? You just need to ask Him how. You know, how many love dance back here? I mean, look what God has done through our dear sister Jen. We're so proud of her. Elevates, touching hundreds of young people. And how many of you know, by the way, it started right here? It just started right here in this room. And God has expanded Elevate. How many locations do you have now? 29, Jen? No, I'm just kidding. It's like, it's, how many?
Three
and online all over the world. I mean, it's just amazing what's happening. So be faithful in building your part of the wall. Amen. Everybody stand. Let's pray. Lord, let your face shine upon us. And let your light, your glorious light, shine through us to the world around us. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you guys.